We take a look at some of the challenges of aging. In our society, aging is often something that we try to deny. We try to hide it. And while, yes, we are living longer, we all have to face up to the fact that at some point we are going to get old.
Our next guest says we shouldn't ignore that fact, and she confronts it head-on in her most recent book called Out of Time, The Pleasures and Perils of Aging. She's Lynn Siegel. She is the Anniversary Professor of Psychological and Gender Studies at Birkbeck College. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Cynthia.
Why do we have such a hard time coping with the fact that we're getting old?
Well, you know, there's nothing new about the fears and negative feelings towards aging. It goes back a very long time. And I think there are many reasons for it, but we're almost imbibed from birth, really. It's there in all our folk tales and legends that there's been a certain contempt for old people as frail and useless, and in particular, there's a sort of gendering of old age as well. So if you think of the witch, the harridan, the Medusa, we sort of imbibe in our culture the idea of there being something negative about aging. And I'm afraid it's associated with the idea that we're no longer productive and useful people in our society. And this is something, since we're all going to be living longer, most of us, we've aged, we've added another 30 years to our lives. It seems to me we've just got to start thinking of better stories to tell about being old.
Have you, in your research, noticed if this is an attitude that's existed over time? I'm thinking of cultures that respect the elderly in such a way that I would have assumed that they have a certain respect for old age that maybe we don't anymore.
Well, there is an idea that it is a recent phenomenon, that we have not enough respect for the elderly. But actually, it isn't such a new thing. If you look even back at classic periods such as ancient Greece, where certainly there were laws that children had to look after the elderly, you still find a certain contempt and laughter about the old. It's still the case that there was fear about growing old. And another thing is that you find societies which have more respect for the elderly, or appear to have more respect for the elderly, there often were fewer elderly people around. And it's in our society, where there's a lot more of the elderly people around, that there has come to be the idea that these elderly people are going to be drawing on all our resources and they won't be able to give anything back to society, and that elderly people are going to, in some way, impoverish society. And I don't think that is in any way a useful way to be seeing things, because elderly people are actually, by and large, giving back quite as much as they're taking from society. I mean, elderly people are involved in caring for people. Grandmothers are involved in caring for people. They're involved in all sorts of ways, in just the networks of support which we need. And it seems to me crucial not to see just the productive worker, the person who's producing profits for the economy, as the only significant people in society. I think we have to begin revaluing what is important about every aspect of our lives, and to realize also that life isn't just a self project. It's about what we're handing on to other people. It's about all the networks that we're engaged in, not just, for instance, productive labor.
There's often some ambiguity about when someone becomes, quote unquote, old. There's not a switch that you flip or anything. But some people wake up in the morning one day and they look in the mirror and they think, geez, I look like my mother. How do we know when we're old?
Well, there's two sides to this. One, I think, is that many of us actually don't feel the age that we are, or certainly most people say they don't feel old, but I think that's because they want to reject the stigma that is attached to aging, the idea that somehow they're not engaged with the world and they're not significant in some way in society. And so almost everyone when interviewed does claim to feel younger. You know, in research which has been done in the US, people in their 60s say they feel on average 10 years younger. And the older they get, the younger they tend to feel. And I think that that's because it's true that we are, in a sense, attached to and a part of all the things we have been. So, in a sense, we're more than one age. There's a sort of temporal vertigo, and we're both the age that we are, which at times we feel, and then at other times we feel that we're still those younger people we have been. We've got divided selves within us, and one reason why it's harder to acknowledge what it is to be old and to have lived a long life and to use those memories is that often people are not interested in what the old have to say or what their memories are. So we have to give older people the significance of having lived a long time and want to hear their stories if we're to be able to enjoy our lives as older people. And of course, we will all grow old. As you said in the beginning, we will all grow old. So whatever our age, we need to see ourselves potentially in this old woman or that old man. We need to be able to think of what it is to lead a long life and what it is to lead a good life, which is being able to, you know, respect what it is to be young, middle age, old age, to be able to be there and acknowledge something about the passing of the years while at the same time holding on to what's important about that passage in time.
What I'm hearing you say is that there's a lot of judgment of the book by its cover. In other words, I see an older person out there and I might buy into the stereotypes that there's not a lot I can learn from them, or that they're not as, I don't know, mentally aware or I don't know, some of the things that you said. Is there more that perhaps in the absence of people reaching out to the elderly that the elderly could do to break some of those stereotypes?
Well, I think that we tend to all be pigeonholed in certain ways, that it's not just what we do individually. But, for instance, there has been quite a lot of attacks on my generation as the so-called baby boomers. That's happened in the US and it's happened in Britain. The idea that we are in some way responsible for the need for austerity at the moment, for instance, and the reasons why there's been a certain rolling back in welfare since the 1980s as what's called neoliberalism is more in the ascendant. And it seems to me that that is precisely a sort of scapegoating and the way of placing one generation against another generation when the reasons for any shift in and reduction in people's overall welfare hasn't anything to do with particular age groups, but everything to do with much more general economic and commercial factors that no one generation is at all responsible for, but the, you know, the organization of society as a whole.
We're talking with Lynn Siegel. She is anniversary professor of psychology and gender studies at Birkbeck College in London. She's the author of many books, including Why Feminism, and her latest book is Out of Time, The Pleasures and Perils of Aging.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts, too. What are your experiences with or your thoughts about getting older? Is it something we ignore in our society? What are your tips for confronting age? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We'll take a look at the news and then we'll be back with more from Lynn Siegel. The This is Central Time, and we're back with Lynn Siegel, Anniversary Professor of Psychology and Gender Studies at Birkbeck College in London. She's the author of many books, including Why Feminism, and her latest book is Out of Time, The Pleasures and Perils of Aging.
And we'd like to hear what you're thinking, too. We all have experience with getting older, of course, but what do you think about that? As you age, are you still thinking that you're the same 25-year-old that you used to be, or are you facing up to the reality that you're 40 or 55 or 65? Is aging something that we ignore in our society? What's your advice for confronting age? Give us a call and weigh in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. That address is talk@wpr.org.
Lynn, I wanted to ask you, out of the subtitle of your book, The Pleasures and Perils of Aging, what are the pleasures?
Well, Cynthia, I often get asked that, but the pleasures are similar to the pleasures that have always been there in life. It's the ability to love and the ability to have people to care about and to be able to engage in the world in interesting and useful ways. And there are many different ways of doing that. You don't have to be fit and strong to be able to give things to others or for others to need you. And it seems to me that the older we get, the more we have to say about the times that we have lived through, or just it becomes easier as well to deal with loss, to deal with the hard things in life, if we're lucky, and to say, well, actually, that is always a part of life. You know, life is never simply being happy. It's about being able to deal with what is thrown at you and to help others deal with that as well. And so I do think the art of handling everyday activity, the art of handling loss, in fact, is also something that can become easier with age. But that, of course, depends very much on our circumstances. There will be huge differences depending on class and finances and so on. There'll be huge differences also in terms of the respect or concern that we get from others. And my worry is that only some of us will be allowed to age with grace and to be still connected with the world. And it seems important to me that we don't have to pretend to or keep trying to be younger than we are. So I think there is a mantra that we ought to stay forever young, and that the whole notion of aging well is really that we don't really age at all. But we do age, and a full life should be able to affirm what it is to have led a long life and to be able to share that with other people who are along the same trajectory as we've already come.
What's to stop everybody from being allowed to age with grace?
Well, first of all, we will have certain greater needs as we get older, for we might have greater medical needs. We may also find ourselves separated from loved ones who have to travel around the country or are very distant from us. And also, there is this desire, both in Britain and the US in particular, but it's part of modern industrial life, that we have to be always available for the job. You know, there's been a downplaying, it seems to me, of the significance of community and of the significance of care. The whole notion of dependence is something that there's a terrible stigma about, but actually we're all dependent on each other all our lives. And so we need to rethink, it seems to me, the ways in which we're interdependent, and that means caring for the young, caring for the old, but also seeing that whatever our age, we are dependent upon the love and support of others. And we can learn from what it is to grow old in terms of rethinking the need to actually have people who we can care about. You know, we need to be able to have people who depend on us, just like we need to be cared for when we are dependent. So that the notion of interdependence seems to me a crucial one to value if we want to think about what it is to lead a good life.
We're talking with Lynn Siegel, and you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. Let's talk to Rich in Beaver Dam. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, I have a comment about aging. I don't have a problem with aging, actually. It's pretty much a part of life, but what I do have a problem of is the disrespect that I've been hearing on especially late-night TV, the jokes that are being made, to almost really defile the aging process. And it's a disrespect that I'm catching that doesn't seem to be stopped. It seems to be getting worse and worse where people are making fun of the natural aging process. And it's a disrespect and a defilement of something that really needs to be corrected.
Thanks, well, Rich.
I think that you're right, Rich. I think that that really is true, and it's surprising that as there are more older people in society, instead of us thinking more about how to value being old and in the hope, too, that we will all live long lives, we've actually, I think, become less respectful of the old. And you hear talk about the tsunami of aging, or we have writers such as Martin Amis saying we're soon going to be living in a society of demented older people, and the fears are so very strong, it seems to me, when in fact most of us, most of our lives, are going to be quite capable of interacting well with others and of giving to others, whatever our age. And so it is extremely unfortunate, it seems to me, this contempt which one often can hear towards the elderly.
Thanks for that call, Rich. We'll talk next to Pepper in Shawano. Hi, Pepper.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's your question or comment?
My comment is I am 56 years old, and I am happier than I have ever been before. I'm not scared to give my opinions on things. I used to be quite shy, and I didn't think anyone was really interested in my opinion. But now I give it. I don't know. I'm just very, very happy, and I think growing old is great.
Thanks, Pepper. Would you say that that's a common sentiment, Lynn, that with age comes confidence?
I think it's true for some people. It's perhaps true for many people. We can become less anxious about our status in the world, actually, and more accepting of things as they are. The problem is that some people are going to face a whole lot of challenges which they need support from those around them. And I think it's important for us older people as well to be speaking out, as we've just heard, and to be saying, well, it's fine to be old, and it's fine also, whatever our needs are, to assert them and to say how we feel about the world. And I think it is the case that that a lot of older people do speak out more than young people, you know, but that we are slightly less anxious about other people's opinion of us. I think that is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our last minute here, what can we start doing right now to better embrace the inevitability of growing old?
Well, I think thinking in terms of more intergenerational contact to not be pigeonholed in whatever age we're supposed to be, but to realize that young people will grow old, that old people have been young, and therefore we really do have things to say to each other. It's different to be young today than it was when I was young in the 1950s, in that post-war period. But it's interesting to hear what those differences are. And we have a lot to say to each other and a lot to give each other, it seems to me, if we're prepared to listen.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure.
That's Lynn Siegel, Anniversary Professor of Psychology and Gender Studies at Birkbeck College in London. She's the author of Out of Time, The Pleasures and Perils of Aging.